Say Your Piece was created with women in mind. Women are often unheard or spoken over, but not here. Here, women speak authentically and spiritually about their life experiences, no matter the subject. The pun is intentional. By saying their piece, they find their peace. Thanks so much for being here. My name is Ali Krasner. Let's dive in. All right, so welcome to this episode of Say Your Piece. And I am here with my friend Julie, who's here to talk to us about the subject of pregnancy loss. So before we dive deep into that, let's just say hi to her. How are you today, Julie?
Hello, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on here.
Pleasure. I'm glad you're here. And where are you located, Julie? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida, in the United States.
Awesome. How is it in Florida? Are you near Disney World or Disneyland? I always forget which one it is.
It's Disney World. I think Disney World. I should know. I'm very near there.
Oh,
I'm very near there.
Okay.
I don't go there, but I could if I wanted to. It would be probably 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, that's funny. I find it's the same thing for me. I live just outside of Paris and I never go to, you know, the tourist attractions or anything like that. So if you live right next to something, it's not very exotic, is it? I understand that.
No.
All right. Julie, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background, maybe what you do?
Sure, I could. I am a physician assistant, which is a popular profession in the United States. I'm not sure that it's taken off in many other countries yet, but it's in between a nurse and a physician. And I practice in an urgent care setting. So I do that. And then I also am a watercolor artist. And I recently got married last year during the pandemic. And I have two stepchildren who are 11 and 13.
All right. Well, congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you.
That must not have been so easy during the pandemic, I suppose.
No, it was a second attempt, and it was, the whole wedding was canceled twice, and then we ended up just doing a very small one with 10 people.
Yeah, I know. I have a couple of friends that the same thing happened to. Well, I'm glad that you got to do your wedding, even though it was a smaller one.
Yes, thank you.
All right, awesome. Well, Julie, you're here to speak to us a little bit today about pregnancy loss, which is something that you personally went through and wanted to share, because I'm sure other women have gone through it as well and maybe feel a little bit afraid to speak about it. So I just want to thank you for your bravery in coming on today. Could you sort of introduce us to your story and what happened to you?
Sure, I could. And and I haven't spoken about it a whole lot, which I think is part of the problem around it. So I think it's important to speak about it more and to be more public with it, myself personally, and, you know, just in general in society. But I met my husband rather late, maybe 38 years old. And we dated for quite a while and we, started trying to have a family. But before I met him, I always knew that I wanted children. And so I actually did fertility preservation and I froze my eggs. And, but shortly after I did it, I met him. And when we froze our eggs, when I froze my eggs, I learned they do a bunch of genetic testing. So I learned that I was a carrier for cystic fibrosis. I'm not even sure why I did the testing. I guess just because they recommended it. I'm not even sure. But then when I met him, it seemed important to find out whether he was a carrier as well, because then I had the knowledge that I was a carrier, even though no one in my family had cystic fibrosis. And it turns out he was a carrier too. And there's a very slim chance of that. And he was. So then it became a little bit scary to try to have a baby naturally. There's a 25% chance that the child would have cystic fibrosis. And so we were catapulted into the fertility world right away, and we were encouraged to do IVF right away. in order to do genetic testing on the embryo. So I think from the very beginning with my husband, who I love very much and was so happy to finally meet the one that I wanted to spend my time with, I think from the very beginning around fertility, it was very stressful, both because I was older and maybe I felt some pressure there, and also because of the knowledge that we had around the genetics that we probably really wouldn't have had if we had just met naturally and sort of things were different. But when you have that information, then it creates some anxiety. So we started, initially tried to use the eggs that I had, and none of that worked. And then we tried to do IVF several times and it never worked. It's very expensive. And then one time when I was on some fertility medicine, you have to take all of these hormones and all of this stuff. And when I was on the medicine and I was waiting for my next cycle, whatever, I just spontaneously got pregnant. We weren't trying, and you know, it just happened in between cycles. And that was the only time that I had ever been pregnant throughout this whole ordeal, I will say, because with the IVF and the fertility preservation, I never even got that far. So we were pregnant, and it was exciting. It was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And, you know, but I think instinctually, because I had been through so much with fertility, I kept it quiet. And then when we went for the first ultrasound, the baby didn't have a heartbeat and had stopped developing around maybe 6 weeks, she said. So she just said to go home and, just to go home and wait for your period. And so that was my first experience with pregnancy loss, and it was devastating. I mean, I don't think anybody can really prepare you for it, even though you're not really, you know, telling everybody and joyous and free about it. It's hard to not have any expectations or excitement or think about the future. So, you know, that was very painful. And I think the day that I actually miscarried was on Mother's Day. Oh. when I actually did get my period. Yeah. We, you know, tried some more fertility treatments. None of it worked. And then we were we went to a different clinic and tried some different things. And we were again in between fertility treatments, and we got pregnant spontaneously again. This is probably a year later. And the baby, everything seemed to look good. And we were actually, you know, dismissed from that clinic, and we were sent to a high risk fertility center because of the cystic fibrosis risk and things like that. But when we went for the 9-week ultrasound, the heartbeat had stopped. And so that was devastating as well. Maybe not as quite as devastating as the first time, because I had some kind of framework for processing it, but it was really challenging. And it was suggested to do a DNC that time to try to test the tissue and see what had happened. So we had that procedure. And then we went through all of that. And then maybe, I don't know, 6 months to a year later, we got pregnant again naturally. Because I think at that point, I felt like the only time I was actually getting pregnant was on my own without all of this fertility. Yeah. Mumbo jumbo. And so we did indeed get pregnant again, shortly after that, actually. And same thing, we got to around, you know, the 8 or 9 week ultrasound, and the heartbeat stopped. And at that point, we did a bunch of, you know, recurrent miscarriage testing, to see if I was hypercoagulable or if I formed clots easily or any type of cause they could find for it. And, the results were kind of inconclusive, like probably not, but maybe one of my markers was a little bit abnormal. So why don't I just try being on a blood thinner just in case, because at this point, just in case. So they just said I had to see a hematologist, and they said, well, the next time you're pregnant, just call me and you can be on a blood thinner. So then a year later, and I tried in between that time and this time, I tried a different type of treatment, which was more emotional. It was sort of like some kind of imagery for women who wanted to have biologic babies and had some factors against them. And it was really like kind of working on unblocking if you have any type of emotional block.
Yeah, that's funny because that's what I was thinking. That was what I was going to ask you. Did you do any sort of processing between the losses? Because I mean, I imagine it takes a lot of courage after a loss to sort of say to yourself, okay, you know, I'm gonna try this again, even, because I can imagine it's so painful that you don't know if it's worthwhile to try again. So you did some sign of kind of emotional unblocking? Is that sort of what you did between?
It is, yeah. So you're absolutely right. Like, and I think, in telling this story, I think it's just been going on for so long that I can say things matter-of-factly, but after each pregnancy loss, it's completely devastating. And there definitely is the period where you feel like, well, I don't want to keep doing this. I can't do this anymore. It's too painful, it's too hard. And then what I find for myself is that time passes, and honestly, my biological clock, like my desire, both my spiritual desire to have a child, but also my biology is very strong. It's very powerful within my body, and it's enough that you maybe start to have hope again and start to want that again. But there is a process that you go through, and I found the process, it can be hard, especially, if you have a DNC, because then there's like a medical procedure that's ending it. And so I think the hard thing is that there's never, when you lose a baby in the first trimester, there's never any physical evidence that you had a baby. It's just what you see on an ultrasound. So it's hard to grieve something and to let go of something when you don't have something physical. So I'm sure it's hard if you have something physical too, but it was hard for me to emotionally feel connected to the heartbeat and whatever you see on the ultrasound, because it was never outside of my body. There was never anything tangible, and I don't have any other biologic children. So I don't have anything to say, oh, wow, this would have been, a child. I don't have that experience. So, but I did, I've done therapy. I've done therapy a lot on myself for years, with or without the infertility. And I also did some kind of specific fertility related, therapy. And then we decided to go back to a fertility clinic again, maybe a year later, and we did intrauterine insemination, which is kind of like a turkey baster type of approach. And we got pregnant, and then the baby died at the same, around the same time. And I was on blood thinners that time. So that was actually probably maybe 2 months ago. So being my fourth time, I was I have a framework for how to go through that loss now and grieve that. So it was easier in that way. But the other thing that's really beautiful that happened this last time is two of the times I actually had a DNC because it was recommended. And this time I was able to just go home and pass the baby naturally, which sounds like it would be harder, but, and it was uncomfortable. But the beautiful, beautiful thing about it, and I hope that this isn't too graphic, but if anybody has been through it, it's true and it's real. But there was a physical there was a physical remnant that I could then actually have a ceremony for. And my husband and I were able to have a ceremony and say goodbye. And that was just beautiful. And it really, really helped me to have some closure and to think of the baby as, well, to feel like a mother to something.
Yeah.
So
that must be so hard not to have anything physical, as you say. And I'm so glad that you were able to have this ceremony to sort of, as you say, feel this sense of closure, I suppose.
It did. It helped me. It really did. Yeah. And I think what has happened to me, because I've had so many pregnancy losses, is that I start to see pregnancy as a medical condition instead of a new life.
Mm.
And so I get sick, I feel crappy, I feel all the negative things, and then I have to go through a medical procedure to end the pregnancy. So there's never any beauty or bloom that comes from it. So what happened during this last time, I was able to see it as a life. I was able to really feel maternal towards something because I had something physical. And I think it helped me to unblock, you know, I think when you have a lot of loss and a lot of trauma, sometimes you put up a wall between yourself and the fetus or the embryo, at least I did.
Of course.
And so, and so it helped me to see it as my child. And this is, it's hard to say this, it's painful, but I would always want like my child to feel loved by me. And I think by putting up that wall because of the recurrent loss, I felt sad, like that, even though it was a fetus inside of me, I would never want it to feel not loved by me. So I think it helped me to break through that barrier, if that makes sense, so that I could kind of open my heart to a pregnancy, to the child again.
Yeah, I totally understand that, because it sort of became an experience of pain for you, like you say, instead of an experience of beauty. So I 100% understand that you would sort of want to push that away, in a sense. And it's great that you were able to sort of see the beauty, I suppose, with the last child, even though obviously it's a tragedy, and get a little bit of closure with that.
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
And so do you sort of continue your therapy, or are you not sure what's next for you?
No, I never know. I'm definitely in that, because it just happened 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in the period where I'm like, okay, what am I doing? It takes me a long time to get up the courage to try again. And to also just to grieve. It takes a long time. For instance, I haven't, it's just, when it's happening to your body, you notice everything within your body, and my body still isn't normal from the miscarriage. So, you know, so I don't know what's next. I don't think, I have been looking more into adoption and egg donation and other avenues, to try something different, but I'm still kind of wading through that.
Yeah, of course. And what kind of effects does it have on the body? Is there anything in particular,
Well, it's very hard. Let's see, any couple that goes through it, I think it's pretty hard because it's pretty much happening to my body. And so my husband tries to understand and be very empathetic, but it's not happening to his body. So he doesn't feel the cramping or have, you know, any changes. So I think women are pretty in tune with their body. And so what happens when you are trying to have a baby for so long is sometimes you'll feel something, or you'll feel nauseous, or you'll feel this or that, and you'll think, well, maybe I'm pregnant. There's always just that question. So it's hard to, it's hard not to read into things in your body too much. But as far as you know, other things that happen, it just throughout your cycle, you know, is irregular because there's a lot of hormones and things like that. So if you're used to just regular things, and then all of a sudden it's like your body is not acting regularly, as far as timing and things like that. But yeah, I think that's been hard for me. It's a little bit harder for me to, I don't want to say detach, but I think sometimes when you're trying to just focus on other things, it's a little bit harder than it is for my husband, because it's my body. So I always am in tune with whatever's going on.
Yeah, sure. I can imagine. I've never had children or been pregnant, but I can imagine that for women, it's much harder to kind of, yeah, like you say, detach from that, because it's your body, right? And you've been through this so many times that you probably kind of feel it in the body, sort of what's happening. And I mean, the body sort of keeps trauma in it in a way as well. So maybe it's felt a little bit more deeply by you, through no fault of your husband, of course, just because you're the one physically experiencing it. And did you ever sort of speak to, I don't know, friends or family or anybody about your experience either before or during the losses, or have you sort of kept it private?
So that's a good question. And I think, you know, for me, when I am pregnant, I don't want to tell anybody because I know it's very fragile. And, you know, I think people's natural response when you tell them you're pregnant is to congratulate you. And truthfully, for me, when I get pregnant, I'm not ready for congratulations. That's not what I want. But so sometimes, you know, at this point I will say, you know, I wanted to let you know that I'm pregnant, but I'm not ready for congratulations. I just wanted you to know. And I'll just kind of let them know. I can do that with people that know me very well, but with just like a random person, no, I just don't say anything ever. Because it's hard to talk about. It's hard for them to understand, and it's personal, and, you know, yeah. So no. And then the problem with that sometimes is that then when you go through it, and then you, if you have it happen several times, then it's also awkward with friends. I have found it's very awkward with my friends, because then this last pregnancy, it's like, God, I don't even want to tell them because of everything I've been through. And then I just kept it to myself. But then when you actually have a really painful loss, then nobody even knows. Yeah. And then you don't have anybody in it with you to support you because you haven't told anybody. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, of, you know, knowing who you can trust to talk to about it so that maybe you just have some support either way. But also just protecting yourself however you feel like you need to go through it.
Yeah, and of course what you've experienced in itself is extremely painful. I can imagine that just kind of adds another layer of pain in a way, not being able to talk about it and sort of almost feeling shame. I'm not sure if that's the right word. Or do you feel like you're maybe imposing a bit on people as it's happened several times? Or
I do feel like that. I do. Shame is a really big part of miscarriage, unfortunately, for a lot of different women from what I've read. I'm sure for all different reasons, but it's a big part of why it's not talked about. But for me, in my situation, then yes, I feel it's almost like an imposition, because it's happened so many times that I feel afraid that friends will just be like, will judge or be like, why do you keep trying? Or what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this to yourself? You know, why do you still want this or whatever? And those are my insecurities, but, and maybe in some ways, like I'm wrestling with those things myself. But still it's uncomfortable. Like if you're trying to help a friend with not dating the wrong guy and she just keeps dating the wrong guy over and over and over again, then maybe you get a little insecure. Like, And I know that's not a good analogy because having a pregnancy loss isn't the same, but it feels like it. It's like, oh my God, here I am coming to my friend with this same problem over and over again. Like, are you tired of it? Are you, you know, are you over it? And so it's hard for me to talk about in that way. And for me personally also, because I'm older at this point, now I'm 43, I have shame around my age. And so I have insecurity telling people because I feel like they'll think that I deserve it in some way, or that, you know, I'm too old to try to have a baby. You know, I have some shame around my age, and it's really nobody's fault ever when you have a miscarriage. You know, there might be more challenges when you get older, but I think that my age is just a trigger for me. And some of it comes from when you go to a fertility clinic and when they, you know, do your bio, it's all death and destruction. Like, at a certain age, it's negative statistics and this and that. And so, there's a bit of a stigma around it that I might've adopted, but I also believe society has it. And so you have to be protective who you share something vulnerable with.
Yeah, sure. And that's interesting that you mentioned that. If you'd like to speak about that, I'd be interested to hear about your experience at the fertility clinic or with freezing your eggs. Did you sort of meet with a lot of stigma from the people that you worked with, or did you feel comfortable doing these types of things?
Well, no, it's not comfortable. I haven't had a positive experience. I've been to 3 fertility clinics now, and it's really hard. I don't like going there. And partially, maybe someone whose fertility treatments worked out would have a really different experience.
Sure, sure.
But mine didn't. So I take what I say with a grain of salt, but it's very, very, very expensive. And
yeah, I can imagine that that's a huge financial investment. So the disappointment is even more in a way. Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, the disappointment is even more. But in cost aside, it's also just I felt a lot like a number.
Okay.
And I've also felt like, you know, kind of like the redheaded stepchild in that it's like, oh, you're in this over 40 category trying to have a baby, and here's all the reasons why it's probably not going to go well. And so it's like, fertility clinics, they like to do like a lot of statistics and a lot of things and like that. And then you throw in the fact that we're both carriers for cystic fibrosis. So, it's a lot of science, and that is their job. However, normally when you're trying to have a baby or bring a life into the world, there isn't as much statistics or science.
Yeah.
Or any of that. It's just organic. Mm. and feels very natural. So it's hard. I think that is beautiful, and I'm happy for the people that it's worked for and all of that, but it's also challenging to go through.
Yeah, it sounds like the experience itself is a little bit cold, or is that how you felt?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, kind of like you're in a laboratory, or, as you were saying, a bit scientific.
It is very, yeah, it has not been a good experience. I mean, I had one, and this is a very personal thing to talk about. So everybody has their own opinion on it, I'm sure, but we have the only time, as I've mentioned, the only time my husband and I have gotten pregnant is when we've naturally done it. So there, and we've tried many other ways. So as far as we got to the point, and I researched cystic fibrosis, and I spoke with a mother of a child with cystic fibrosis. I reached out to the foundation. I did my due diligence, and I decided that, you know, I wouldn't even test the baby for it, because I want to have the baby either way. I want to have the baby that God gives me. Mm. And just love the baby that I have. And I came to peace with that, even though it makes me afraid. But I did have one doctor just say, we only, the procedure that we had done, the particular cycle, it only came up with one embryo. And I was like, let's just put, my husband and I said, we just want to implant it and not do the whole testing thing. Yeah. Because every time you manipulate it more, there's more chance of it not working out. Mm. And he said, he literally said, you're playing Russian roulette. It's like playing Russian roulette. And, you know, he was like a young 20 something, probably never had any struggle with infertility. But for me, it's not like that. Like I have the right to have like, to have a baby just as much as somebody who isn't a carrier.
Of course, of course.
So it's just very scientific and yeah, you got to be really strong when you go into those places. You have to have a really strong sense of yourself and who you are and what's important to you.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that you were treated like that. It just seems so unfair and that they're not very sensitive to what women like you are going through. But hopefully by sort of talking about it and putting it out there, people will sort of realize.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And, you know, I am only speaking for myself. So hopefully there are women out there that have had positive experiences and, you know, but that is just my, you know, my experience. So I sort of, if I decide to do egg donation, I still have to work with a fertility clinic, but I sort of just hold my nose and go in there and get what I want from it. And I'm also much more assertive now. And I just say, look, I don't want to hear this. It's not important to me. This is what I really go in with a sense of myself. And so.
Good for you. And I mean, that's really what Say Your Piece is all about, to know what you want and as a woman, not be afraid to say it. So I think that's very important. And to sort of wrap up here, is there any advice that you might have either for women who are going through this or for friends of women who are going through this about how they can better sort of support them and hold space for them?
Sure. I would say that there's no wrong way to grieve. I think it's very, very important that when you have a loss, that it's traumatic, it's very, very painful, and it's very deep pain, and that whatever your process is going through it, it's not wrong. And don't, you know, just don't let anybody make you feel like you need to be talking more or not talking more or going to this support group or eating this or doing that, or why haven't you thought about adopting or anything else? Like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to have a baby and trying. And when it doesn't happen, you can just grieve however works for you. Because grief is very personal. It's different for everybody. And I think you'll just make your way through it and learn whatever you're supposed to learn for your path. I say that because I've had a lot of, you know, people, even people that love me and that mean well, sometimes I have felt judged that I wasn't talking enough or that I was still trying to have a baby or this or that. And there's nothing wrong with what you decide in your heart. And you can do it however works for you. So I would say that.
Yeah, that's so important to say, that grieving is so personal. And if we know someone who maybe confides in us that they've gone through this, are there any things that you would really advise people, sort of, maybe it's simplistic, but to say or not to say? How can we sort of best hold space for women who have gone through this?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that. I think, you know, what would help me is if you just, you know, call and say, I'm just thinking about you and I love you and I'm here for you. If you want to talk, if there's anything you need or want, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and I love you. And, I think that's really important, because something else that happens is people stay away out of their discomfort and not knowing what to say, or their discomfort with the pain around what happened to you. Whatever motivates people, what ends up happening is, in the awkwardness, they stay away and it hurts. It's nice to just call and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm so sorry. I love you. I'm here for you." And, you know, that's pretty much it. I think, I don't suggest, when somebody's grieving a loss, that you say, "Hey, have you thought about adoption?" or anything like that, because it can feel very dismissive of the pain that you're going through in that moment. And there is nothing wrong with adoption or any method to being a mom. And I'm looking into those myself. But when you're grieving, it's nice to feel seen and the space held for where you are.
Yeah, that's so important. So just be there for the person, in fact, without sort of imposing your views on what they should or shouldn't do. Which seems like a basic thing, I guess, but is hard for people, as you say, and maybe they are well-intentioned and think they're helping, but it's good to know that that can be seen as sort of dismissive.
Yeah.
Well, Julie, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I think it's so important what we talked about, and that it's really going to help a lot of women. So I will put your Instagram account, I think, in the show notes, if people want to catch up with you there, if they want to send you a DM. Otherwise, I'll say thanks so much for coming on, and I hope we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And I'm sending love to everyone and anyone that's going through that. I just send my heart to you. And if there's ever anything I can do to help, you know where to find me.
Thanks so much, Julie. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Emerge and Shine Academy. Put yourself out there, move past the fear of public speaking, and have fun doing it. Our monthly membership is 3 sessions a month and a supportive community of women. Don't dim your light. Embrace your shine. Learn more on Instagram at Emerge and Shine or on Facebook, Emerge and Shine. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Say Your Piece.